the Loch Ness Monster, the Chupacabra, UFOs, aliens, Area 51, conspiracies, unsolved crimes, the supernatural. Are they real or are they figments? With your hosts, Colleen and Eddie Medina.
Hello and welcome to Figments, the show where we talk about the unexplained and the unknown. I'm your host, Eddie Medina, and with me is my lovely, lovely co-host, Miss Colleen Medina. Colleen, say hi.
Hi.
You sound so enthused.
I am.
And Colleen is not only my lovely co-host, but she is also my wife, if you can figure that out by the last name. But welcome to Figments. This is our first show, and we're really excited to just really tackle the stuff on our lists. Later on tonight, we'll be discussing the Memorial Day Bigfoot footage. And anybody who knows us personally knows that we go nuts over cryptozoology, especially Bigfoot. And in addition to that, Colleen is very much a big true crime aficionado, I suppose. Colleen,
thank you. Yes.
Give them a little bit of background about yourself in that respect.
Oh, well, you know, I don't have a degree in that or anything, but I love watching true crime, conspiracy theories, unsolved mysteries, things like that. So can't wait for those episodes to come up.
Oh, yeah, definitely. We both grew up as kids. We grew up watching In Search of Leonard Nimoy and later on Unsolved Mysteries with Robert Stack. Not intentionally following that same formula, but I guess if we were trying to explain Figments in a way, it would be kind of a little bit of In Search of, a little bit of Unsolved Mysteries.
Yeah, so, a little bit together. Put them together.
Yeah, like peanut butter and jelly, almost.
Okay.
All
right. Ham and cheese.
Okay, tomato, tomato.
Cheese and crackers.
Oh, gosh.
Bean and potatoes.
Okay, we are actually getting into something important. Don't tune us out yet.
Yeah, really.
Yeah. But also, we're also going to cover stuff like conspiracy theories. The JFK thing will be a big one. Probably will end up being a podcast mini-series by itself. Which is another thing that Colleen is very much obsessed about.
Obsessed? I find it interesting, okay?
Well, okay, sure. The game plan for Figments is for it to be a weekly show. And how we hope it's going to work is we're going to rotate between cryptozoology, maybe like conspiracies and other unexplained stuff like the supernatural or UFOs. So that way we're just kind of have a good rotation of topics. So we're not just doing like Bigfoot back to back to back to back, you know.
Mm-hmm. But That'd be a lot of big feet.
That would be. Mm-hmm. Really? Mm-hmm. Really? And let me apologize ahead of time. If you hear any sniffing or sniffling or coughing, I'm sorry to say Colleen has a bit of a cough tonight and allergies and all. So she has been afflicted by the snot squatch. Yeah, I said snot squatch. Yeah, word up, snot squatch.
Thank you for addressing that, and you will be getting yours pretty soon.
Uh-oh.
So let's move on. What about talking about cryptids and all these mysterious things? Mm-hmm. What about, do you remember seeing the Patterson film? I know we're not going to talk about that tonight, but I remember seeing a picture of it whenever I was a little girl, and I was so intrigued by it. I just wanted to believe that it was real, and I was just so excited. Oh, my goodness, there's something out there that we don't know about, and, you know, my parents, of course, told me, oh, no, that's fake, you know, it's man in a costume and all that. What did you think? Because, I mean, we were little. That was taken back in, what, 1967?
Oh, definitely.
So we weren't even born yet, but by the time we were able to, you know, well, I guess by the time it really hit the big time, you know, we were little. What did you think about that?
I remember seeing it very early on, and my parents were kind of a little different, I suppose, in their take of it than you were. I remember they were very intrigued by it. I think my mom kind of believed it could be true. My dad also. I always was in the impression that it was real. Even at a young age, I would look at that video. And in my mind, I never questioned that it was real or fake. I was looking at that as a genuine documentation of the Bigfoot creature. And I kind of carried that same attitude throughout life. And of course, when I did get older, college and all, and I kind of revisited my obsession of about Bigfoot, I started hearing people talking about how it was fake and this, that, and the other. And again, we're going to get into the whole Patterson footage in a different episode, but I didn't really let that sway me. Instead, I let that just kind of encourage me to get a little bit more informed about that video, the Loch Ness Monster, and other cryptids. It really kind of informed me, caused me to inform myself of these different things and try to determine for myself if they could possibly be real or fake.
Yeah, I always felt it very intriguing, and I remember being little and thinking, man, I really want these things to be real. You know, I want there to be UFOs, and I want there to be ghosts, and at that time I didn't really understand the whole ghost supernatural, you know, perspective from a Christian's, you know, eyes, but I wanted to believe all of those things, and, you know, I guess through the years I just kind of let it go and moved on, kind of put my sight somewhere else.
Sure.
And I remember whenever you and I started dating, it wasn't until then that we were talking about it, and you kind of convinced me that the Patterson film was real because of what you had heard and what you had been watching.
Sure.
And I thought, okay, well, you know, I'm so glad because I always wanted it to be real. Not that it, you know, that makes it real, but I think it's funny that now we are so into all of these things that are just so interesting and, you know, mysterious. And so it kind of revisits my childhood a little bit. But,
sure.
You know, I always wanted to see a UFO, and I've always believed in the Loch Ness Monster. And I mean, in my eyes, she will live forever. So there's no... Nessie will never die, but
sure.
What do you think your top five cryptids are, if you can name them right off the spot?
The first one would be obvious. Anybody who knows me, it would be the granddaddy of all cryptozoology, and that's Bigfoot. Mm-hmm. And when I say Bigfoot, that would also encompass, you know, the Yeti, the skunk ape, the Boggy Creek Monster, any of the hairy bipedal hominoids that falls under that category.
My dad.
Your dad. Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, gosh. Hopefully he won't listen to this.
No, but, he won't. We can say anything we want.
What's a podcast?
Yeah. How do you do that?
Bigfoot would be my first. Second, I would think like monsters, Champ, Nessie, and the like.
Ogopogo.
Ogopogo. Third would have to be Thunderbirds. Mm-hmm. And you don't hear a whole lot about Thunderbirds. They're not as prevalent in the public's eye as some of these others, but they've always intrigued me.
Yeah, the few stories we have are very interesting.
Sure, sure. The accounts you do hear are just very interesting. And thank goodness for Ken Gerhart, who really is at the forefront with keeping the Thunderbirds in the public eye.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, good on him for that. Fourth is going to be one that's, people are going to like scratch their heads and say, what the heck?
Oh, yeah, here we go.
My fourth choice would be the jackalope.
dun, dun, dun.
I love the jackalope. And not because he's a cute little kitschy thing that you can buy on the side of the road at a gift shop, but I'm not talking about the little rabbit with the horns goofiness. I think the jackalope is really just like misidentification of something else. And we are definitely going to have a whole episode based on the jackalope.
Mm-hmm.
And a friend of ours, Jason McLean, has a very interesting theory as to what the jackalope could be. And when he told it to me, I thought, oh, finally validation. I don't have to feel like I'm crazy anymore. There's something that makes sense. Fifth on my list would be the Lizard Man.
Oh, I didn't realize you were still going. Okay, yes, the Lizard Man.
Yo, you did ask for five.
Yeah.
The Lizard Man, and I'll tell you why. When I was in first grade, I remember coming across a book in the school library that was about cryptids. And I remember there was, of course, the lead story was probably Bigfoot. And I really wish I could remember the name of the book because I would love to track it down. Of course, Nessie was in there. I think that was actually the first time I saw the photo of Nessie, the surgeon's photo. Thunderbird was probably in there too, but I remember very distinctly there was a story in there about Lizard Man, and it terrified me.
Mm.
I mean, of course, I was so young, but the description, how they described it, the account that they gave, it was, if I recall, it was about a sheriff's deputy that encountered it, and as he tried to get away, and maybe it wasn't sheriff's deputy, it could have been like a local, but anyway, this person jumped in their car, and took off, and apparently the lizard man had grabbed a hold of the roof for the trunk and left claw marks in it, and they didn't realize it until they got back into town.
And oh, my.
It almost kind of sounds like the Hook Man urban legend.
That's exactly what I was just thinking I was going to say, but you beat me to it. Wow, okay. That we're is like, creepy, especially always, for a child.
I know. We're always thinking about the same thing. It's like we're an old married couple or something.
I know. We're just a married couple. We're not that old.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm just kind of curious, what the heck kind of books did you have in your library?
I know, exactly. I really wish I could track that down. But anyway, enough of that. What about your top five?
Top five, definitely Bigfoot first.
Copycat.
Second, yeah, I'm copying you, of course. Second is Nessie. And that goes lake monsters, anything unexplained in the ocean. But I just kind of call everything Nessie.
Yeah.
Third is, I'd have to say Mothman. And fourth would be Thunderbird.
Okay.
And fifth would be the Jersey Devil.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. Okay. I was half expecting Chupacabra in there in some form.
You know, I think the Chupacabra is just like you kind of said earlier about misidentification. Because I've seen supposed video and, you know, I mean, mange can do a lot of damage to these poor animals.
Yeah.
And starvation.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And then whenever they get, you know, when they die and they've gotten tested and it just turns out to be some sort of canine, I almost kind of feel like that's a legend. And I kind of feel like that with the Jersey Devil, too, but I think I'm just a little bit more intrigued with the Jersey Devil.
Sure, sure. We're not necessarily saying you believe in all of these, but it's the intrigue factor. Like, you know, how the mystery
exactly.
behind it all. Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm. If I were to take everything and, you know, pick out my top five, those are them. So here we are.
Yeah, it's funny that you brought the Mothman up in your list. That was one I kind of forgot about. But I remember, I'm not sure if I ever heard about the Mothman prior to the Mothman Prophecies movie. And I know you and I had just started dating
when
that movie
came out. Yeah, I
don't
think I had either.
Yeah.
I think we kind of both discovered it at the same time and were very just kind of scared and intrigued at the same time.
I remember the day we went to go see the movie, we spent that afternoon on the computer looking up all this stuff, and so we're like, oh my gosh, we're getting all this info about Mothman, and then we went and saw the movie, and we're let down with how...
Oh, we were so let down. Oh my goodness. We were so scared. Oh, this is going to be so good, you know, before we got there. But, yeah, I do remember, though, after whenever you dropped me off at my apartment that night, there were quite a few moths at my door. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
They were just all, and that's never happened before, and it had never happened since then.
I remember you were really creeped out, and you were like...
And I thought, what the heck is going on here?
That was her babies.
It was her babies, and I didn't know why her babies were stalking my door.
On Figments, the point of the show, basically, is to present y'all with information. Of course, we're going to give our opinions on things, but it's really just to kind of pass along information, kind of relay accounts, stories. And what we want is to inform you of things and let you, the listener, decide for yourself.
Exactly.
What you think of these things. You know, is there a chance that these would be real? Just kind of going into some of these things with an open mind.
Mm-hmm.
Oftentimes, people don't want to give much thought. They want to dismiss things out of hand. I really hate the fact when anything Bigfoot comes up, especially the Patterson footage. People automatically say, oh, yeah, they disproved that years ago. You know, guy in a suit, the guy in the monkey suit. I hate the words. It was a guy in the monkey suit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's so cliche.
Yeah.
But how many guys in monkey suits have come forward? There's been...
Three,
there's
right?
been at least... Yeah, I knew there had been at least two, so they both couldn't have done it.
Uh-huh.
And then one of them can't even get back to where they were supposedly filming the staged reenactments or, you know, staged account. So, anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, we'll definitely cover all that in the Patterson episode.
Mm-hmm.
Just go into it with an open mind and just see if there's a possibility that some of these things, there could be truth behind it. Listen to people's accounts. And when it comes to credibility of the eyewitness, a lot of times when you hear an account given by a military person or law enforcement, that amazes me a lot of times, because these guys are coming forward and they're actually risking their position in their job by coming forward, but yet they feel the need to come forward and tell their story. And I think we owe it to them to give them the chance to tell their story and look into it to see what, you know, what we can learn from it.
Exactly. You think, okay, you know, these pilots talking about UFOs.
Yes.
These pilots talking about not just pilots, but, you know, colonels and sergeants, and talking about the things that they've seen in the air, the things that they've seen in the woods. And, you know, why make all of that up when you're going to risk your reputation, when you could lose your job, when you could, you know, your marriage can end because of it? Why make it all up? And, you know, just because someone is in the military or is in law enforcement does not mean that they don't lie. We're not saying that. And just because someone has an account that they, you know, want to talk about, and they're just an average Joe like Eddie and I are, that doesn't mean that we're lying, that person's lying.
Yeah.
You know, it's almost like, well, I'm Dr. So-and-so, so because I have a doctor in front of my name, you should automatically believe everything that I'm saying, and that should make me get first billing on whatever. And that's not the case. That doesn't make you any better than me. It just makes you have a different occupation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So,
yeah, like you often hear about accounts given a lot of times from truck drivers, because they're the ones that are on these long stretches of desolate roads in the middle of the night. So of course, they're the ones who are going to be more likely to see a Sasquatch than somebody who spends all their life downtown or living in the suburbs.
Exactly.
And I'm one of you guys. I'm just, you know, your regular type of average Joe. I don't think a person's credibility should automatically be diminished because of their occupation. It's great. It's wonderful when somebody in military or law enforcement or a doctor or a lawyer, well, lawyers, we don't believe them anyway. But anyway, everybody else, you know, when they
defending us or
yeah, when they do come forward, it is kind of cool because they have almost a bigger stake if they're a 5-star general. But at the same time, I'm just as willing to be open to and listen to a logger who spends his time on the back roads, or a family, a farmer who lives out in a rural area. You know?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. It shouldn't matter. And, you know, I've always thought the world is way too big for us to think that we know everything.
Exactly.
You know, there's so many miles of forests and out there that have not even been explored yet. And think about the ocean. Think about how...
Oh, yeah.
Think about everything that's in the ocean, all the lost treasures that are in the ocean, the humongous ships and and planes that we do not know. You know, we assume they went down the ocean. We don't know where they are. You know, we talked about the Mariana Trench the other day, how...
That's right.
...that is. And, you know, I think we're kidding ourselves if we have the mindset, you know, okay, so everything's already been discovered now. There's never going to be any new species, and here we are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why live your life that way? How is that exciting, just to go every day and not want to think that a new adventure is going to be right around the corner?
Exactly. And you can apply that to the universe in general. The universe is so vast and large. We have no idea what other planets, what kind of life could be on other planets, and not necessarily humanoid life, but, you know, maybe just, you know, life comes in all different forms.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know what's out there. The universe, as big as it is, heck, we would be stupid to think we're the only ones around.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, we would be. So, yeah, we're not saying to believe everything that you see or hear or read, but don't just, you know, just put everything out of your mind either. Don't be one of those negative Nancys where, you know, you don't want to believe anything, and have a positive outlook on things. Have an open mind, and that's what we're doing. And, you know, if you can't be that type of person, then figments will be just a figment of your imagination. But hopefully, you know, you can be that type of person that has an open mind and, you know, listens to these stories.
Yeah, you know, and I don't want to believe everything that is presented to me. I don't.
Mm-mm.
You know, you see these people on these shows, either these ghost hunting shows or UFO shows, and some of these people just really want to believe everything that's presented to them as if it's the gospel truth.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sorry, as obsessed as I am about some of these topics, I really want something substantial to back up the accounts I hear, you know, something that will have weight behind it, that when science, the scientific community looks into it, there's some weight behind some of this stuff. You know, you want evidence. You just don't want to believe everything that's given to you.
And also, yes, exactly. And also, I think all the shows that we've watched and all the things that we've read, I've kind of learned to pick out certain things of people's story, especially when I'm watching them,
yeah,
giving their account. If they're giving way too much information, way too many details, you kind of have to wonder about that. You know, if you're scared, are you really going to remember all of those details?
Mm-hmm.
And people say, well, we were about 3/4 of a mile up the hill.
I can't even determine that.
75 feet in front of us. Exactly. Again, we're not saying those people are not telling the truth, but that's just a good example, and that goes with life. Anytime you're communicating with someone, you have to wonder, are they just giving you so many details that it never ends? Or you can kind of go the other way. Mm-hmm. Are they talking to you and just barely say, well, he went behind a tree and that was it?
Yeah.
Well, just, what exactly did you see? Was it big? Was there some sort of smell there?
Mm-hmm.
Did it have hair? If so, what color was the hair? If you're having to probe the person.
Oh, no. Let's not probe.
I kind of had a feeling that was coming when I said it. But anyway. Then, you know, you have to wonder about that, too. Again, whenever you're scared, the brain secretes this substance.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
CPT or something like that. I can never remember the initials.
Oh,
but,
OPP?
Yeah, you know me. It kind of keeps you from remembering everything because you're so scared. And so that's why a lot of times when people go through a tragic event, they don't remember all the details, which
that's right.
A lot of times if they're questioned by the police or detectives, that can, you know, not be in their favor because they're not remembering what they should.
Time out. When they're questioned by detectives, now we are talking about real police detectives, right?
Right.
Okay, not, say, a school teacher who pretends she's a police detective because the police that visited her school to talk to her kids may have given her a little sticker that looks like a badge, and she stuck it on her shirt and went around the rest of the day telling people that she was a police detective.
You know, do we have to bring that up, really?
I just want the listeners to know what type of mindset
good
you have.
Yes, I'm a child, okay? No one would ever guess that I was 40 years old because of the way I act. Hey,
well, that's awesome.
Fun.
That's awesome, though. That's why we have so much fun.
Well, I have fun, but
hey, now. Hopefully you'll get not only some info out of the show, but just have fun with the show, because Colleen and I just, we just eat this stuff up. I mean, there will be some Saturdays if we don't have to get out, we will just,
mm-hmm,
we'll stay in bed. We'll get our cup of coffee. The dog,
mm-hmm,
will jump in the bed with us, our Doberman, and we'll just sit there and we'll either watch documentaries or we'll look up stuff, the latest accounts, if there's any new stories online. We'll just, mm-hmm, obsess. We eat the
it's
stuff
a hobby
up.
I mean, we have fun with it.
Yeah.
And, you know, like we said, we don't believe everything that's put in front of us, and there's a lot of things that we look at and think, oh, I'm not sure about that.
Jersey Devil, what?
Yeah, hey now. There's even things that I have looked at that other people think is real, and the, mm-hmm, people swear up and down, you know, this is what I saw, mm-hmm, and I look at it, and I look at it again, and I look at it again, and I think, well, you did see something, but I don't think you saw what you think you saw.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just a matter of opinion. But we just have fun with it. We don't live our lives to this. Whenever we go walking or hiking in the woods or out to the, mm-hmm, lake or camping, we don't do that to see something. We do that because that's one of our pastimes. We do keep an eye out, and we always have our phone out there with us, and we have seen things and we've heard noises, and we'll get into that another time. You know, it doesn't consume us, and I don't feel like there's anything missing from our lives.
Hope not.
No void. Well, you never know.
Woman, you better not if you're married to me.
Oh, good.
You best to recognize.
After this show is over.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, you better be scared. I'm going to sick my Doberman on you. He was already growling at you earlier. But we're not trying to fill any void. There's nothing missing in our lives in that respect. People could say, oh, why don't you get a life? Why don't you, you know, find something useful to do? Well, we do. We do have a life. We do have useful things to do. This is just something fun that we enjoy. And yeah. I think everybody can say that they have something like that in their life.
Sure. You know, we were touching briefly earlier, and we will get into the Memorial Day video just here in just a bit. You know, we were talking about...
Yes, eventually. Yeah. Stops talking.
I was just thinking about this. You know, we were talking about the credibility of people, the risks that they take by coming forward with their story. Case in point, Bob Gimlin.
Yeah.
Those of you who aren't as familiar with the Bigfoot phenomenon, Bob Gimlin was one of the two men who was there that day. Patterson filmed the Bigfoot, and Bob Gimlin was kind of covering him with the rifle. It affected him really negatively on a personal level. Colleen, you mentioned that his wife almost left him because of the stress that came from him coming forward.
Yeah, I was watching one of our documentaries, and it was actually him talking.
Yeah.
And he was saying, you know, he wished the whole thing had never happened, and he said that, you know, his wife almost ended up leaving him over it. You know, he didn't go into specifics.
Yeah.
But that's a... You know, that's an example right there of something that happened to someone, and now they wish that it never had happened because of, you know, what it has caused in their life.
Yeah, these guys, they didn't get rich off of this video, movie.
They didn't get
any
anything off of
yeah.
it.
Yeah, he didn't get rich. In fact, it was so stressful for Bob Gimlin that he stayed out of the public eye for several decades. I mean, this happened in 67. He didn't reemerge into the public eye until the early 2000s. So you're talking well over 30 years before he stepped back into the public eye. It wasn't until he was on Autumn Williams' show on OLN, Mysterious Encounters. That's the
right.
first time I actually saw him. I'd heard his voice in old audio recordings, but when he was on Autumn Williams' show, that's the first time I actually seen the man. I was like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I actually think that's the show he was on whenever he was saying that.
Could very well be. And it took that long for him to step back into the public eye because of all the negativity that came about of it. And while I'm mentioning Autumn Williams, if you want a good resource on Bigfoot, she runs the website OregonBigfoot.com. Definitely check out her site. Good gal, good information, just... check that out if you have a chance.
Yeah. And, you know, there's a fingerprint expert who is actually retired now that used to work for the police department in Conroe, Texas, Jimmy Chilcutt.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he's an expert not only in human fingerprints, but in
primates.
You know, yeah.
Primate fingerprints.
Yeah. And he's come out many times and said that he thinks that there's something out there. And just by what he's seen, and when he compares the fingerprints, he's looking at these tracks, or not fingerprints, but prints, and he's seeing these tracks with dermal ridges, and he's seeing that they're different from human and non-human primates, and so he's thinking, okay, well,
yeah,
there, you know, what else is it going to be? So he's come out and said that he actually believes that there is is something else out there. That's a really good example right there of someone who,
with his reputation and everything.
Could ruin his reputation and
See, my reputation's already ruined, so it doesn't matter to me.
Exactly.
Yeah. And if you have a hard time remembering that name, Jimmy Chilcutt.
Oh gosh.
What I do is I set it to song to remember it. And it goes something like this. Jimmy Chilcutt and I don't care. Jimmy Chilcutt and I don't care. Jimmy Chilcutt and I don't care. Okay, we just lost half of our listeners with that.
Now I don't think we had any to begin with.
No, yeah, now instead of four listeners, we're down to two.
Exactly.
Sorry, Jimmy, for butchering your name like that.
Yeah. Yeah, he'll never come talk at one of our shows. you know, another example that's really fresh in my mind because I just finished reading his book is a doctor, Dr. Crenshaw.
Oh, that's a good point because Yeah, since the show's not just about cryptozoology, it's also about conspiracy theories and stuff.
Right. He was one of the doctors in the emergency room working on President Kennedy. You know, everything that he saw, everything that he heard, he wanted to put it into a book because he wanted the public to know that what he saw was much different than what we were told. And, you know, he was very, very respected. Lots of credentials, which that really doesn't mean anything.
Sure.
But, you know, he was a true person. And people have come out and said, well, he wasn't really even there. And it's just ridiculous. You know, and you know, he was actually there working on President Kennedy. He can tell you exactly what he saw and what was happening and going, you know, what was going on. And it just, he puts you in the room with him.
Yeah, wow.
And he has since passed on, and luckily he has co-authors helping him write the book. You know, they just kind of tail in the book a little bit.
Okay, like they carried on what he started.
Well, he finished the book, and then they kind of put in what they're talking about.
Okay.
Kind of, I guess, backing him up and everything. And they're just talking about how some of these organizations have discredited him, don't believe, you know, what he's saying. And even a doctor that was there at Parkland continues to this day to be very adamant going with what the government story was instead of speaking, being one of those who spoke up and said the truth. In my opinion, if you're working on the president and you see his injuries, you know if they're coming from the front or the back, or you know exactly where he's gotten hit and all this kind of stuff. So that's a prime example of someone who could have just lost his career pretty much forever, especially dealing with a situation like that, dealing with President Kennedy and that whole
Most
story.
Most definitely, yeah, so high profile.
I mean, that's honestly really scary.
It definitely is, yeah. Yeah, because he was going against the what the government was saying, like what the FBI came forward and saying. So he was going up against that. So yeah, it does make it very scary. Let's go ahead and get into the Memorial Day footage.
Okay, look.
Okay, now for those of you who may not be familiar with the Memorial Day footage, it was taken in 1996. Is that right, Colleen?
Yes, 1996 Washington.
Lori and the late Owen Pate. Unfortunately, Owen Pate passed away in 2011 in a car accident. But Lori and Owen Pate and their family members were up in Washington State. Is that right? I'm going to let Colleen take this one. But before she starts, I have to say that when I saw the Memorial Day footage, I didn't think much of it. It was interesting for sure. You see a figure running across the plains. It's at a distance. Interesting, but, you know, it wasn't like the Patterson footage. It wasn't like the Paul Freeman video. So I didn't think much of it. Well, I remember one weekend, for those of you who don't know me, I'm an artist, I'm mostly illustrator. I remember I was at my drawing table drawing some comic pages, and Colleen was watching a documentary, and that documentary is called Sasquatch Legend Meets Science. Or as Colleen likes to call it, Sasquatch Meets Science.
How many times is it going to be tonight?
sometimes it's Legend Meets Sasquatch. There's all sorts of combinations.
I'm sorry. I think I see your dirty socks crawling across the floor. You want to go there? Huh?
We don't have to air our dirty laundry.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But that was corny.
Yeah, it was.
And I remember she was watching it, and it's very, very good documentary. Well, actually, it's the precursor to what became Monster Quest. It was produced by Doug Hijack. And there's a
very book, good show.
Yeah. There's a book that it's based on by Dr. Jeff Meldrum of the same name. That's very interesting. Definitely check out both of those. But they show the footage, and they talk about it, and Colleen was watching it, and she told me, and I'd already seen the documentary a couple times, and she was like, you know what? And she gave me her thoughts on the video, and I went back and watched it again, and it was almost like I was watching it for the first time, and I was seeing things I didn't notice before. I was taking into consideration some things that she had mentioned to me, and I thought, wow, this is an interesting piece of evidence in the Bigfoot phenomenon. Colleen, why don't you go ahead and just kind of go through the video, describe it? And
I would love to. Well, let me just say that what I've seen in the video is pointed out by researchers and, you know, doctors that what they've seen. But I've also seen some things myself that haven't actually, you know, been said in these documentaries. So I don't want it to seem like that I figured all of this stuff out, but there were a couple of things that I thought that I noticed that nobody else said. So this family is camping in Washington, and they are down next to the water. They have a camper, and so they're on a flat ground. And then a few feet, 50 feet up, 20, half of a mile up.
Longitude, latitude, and all that.
Yeah. I call it the side of a mountain. You know, in Texas, everything is a mountain, so because we don't really have them here. So anyway, I call it a side of a mountain. Someone had seen a Bigfoot actually running down, or what they thought was a Bigfoot actually running down the mountain, straight down. So that got everybody's attention, and they got their video camera and started filming it. And at this point, once Lori Pate started filming, the supposed Bigfoot was running across the mountain. So the Bigfoot's running across the mountain, and it does what researchers say is this pretty long jump. I don't really see that. I just kind of, you know, I don't know if there was a rock, a big stone there, or if maybe there was just a little creek, you know, because you can't really see what's up there.
A lizard.
Yeah, a lizard, you know. In your case, you would have screamed and ran the other way, but...
Whoa. Well, yeah, it's a lizard. Hello.
I know, very dangerous. So, anyway, I don't really see that. I mean, I know what they're talking about, but I don't see any big deal with it. And it's running, and then it's kind of weird because the part of the mountain, it has a... another kind of hill on top of it. So as it's running,
it's very hilly.
Yeah.
You're looking down a slope, and go on YouTube. You can type in Memorial Day Bigfoot footage. You'll see what we're talking about.
Yeah. Well, you're looking up. You're looking up at it, and the hill is hiding the Bigfoot. And so, you know, everybody kind of thinks, well, once it got behind that hill, it realized that nobody could see it, and so it felt like it was kind of safe. And so as it emerges from behind that hill, it grows in height, what they estimate to be 8 to 9 inches. So, and then it's just actually walking, swinging its arms, and then it walks into the woods on the other side. There's woods on both sides, obviously both sides of the mountain. So, Mr. Pate, he had actually, I guess, waited a little while and gone up there, and he could see where it went into the woods, and it looked like there was this big clearing there, and kind of looked like maybe a nest area. And he had found some bones, and that's not to say that that's exactly, you know, where that thing lives, and that could have been from anything. But they all thought that that was interesting, and that kind of brings up a point: is Bigfoot a meat eater? You know, there's several researchers that think that they're vegetarians. To me, they look a lot like gorillas. Gorillas are vegetarians, and they survive just fine out on their own. But you know, we don't know. It hasn't been discovered yet, so we don't know if you know, how they're saying. I mean, I don't know what's leading them to believe they're vegetarians.
It's all speculation at this point.
It is, but we just thought that that was interesting.
I think I'd like to believe that Bigfoot likes himself a nice steak and potato and chives and steak sauce.
That actually sounds really good right now.
And a beer.
Yeah. Glass of Merlot. Okay, so getting back to this, what I find interesting is when you're actually looking at it with a curious eye, and not just how Eddie was looking at it to begin with, but when you're looking at it with a curious eye, the thing to me is big. We can't really judge the height. They've done tests and stuff, and they've determined that it's just kind of normal height. That doesn't mean it's fully grown, you know?
That's true.
You could say, oh, well, it's not very tall. It can't be a Bigfoot. Well, who's to say that it's fully grown? You know, not every Bigfoot has to be 8 feet tall. So when it's moving, and it looks like it's only moving one arm whenever it runs, like humans run, we move both of our arms. It looks like it's only moving one. And to me, it looks like it's trying to use the other arm and holding something on its back. Because if you're looking at it as it's swaying, you know, kind of swaying back and forth as it's running, it looks like there's something hanging on his back. and it does not look like a backpack or a purse or any type of bag. It looks like it could be a juvenile.
Yeah, Bigfoot isn't into Gucci or Prada.
I was actually thinking Coach, because I do have that coupon. But anyway. So it looks like it could be a baby. And I thought, well, maybe that's why it looks like it's only using one arm to run with. And then you're thinking, heck, this thing is only using one arm to run with, and it's still running that good and that fast. It's not looking down. It's looking straight across. Yeah. So you think this thing does this all the time.
Let me interrupt just real quick, if I can. I've worn a gorilla costume before.
Oh, my.
Let me tell you. Well, first off, I was wearing it because I used to have a side job. I would get hired for these bachelorette parties.
Yeah. You didn't get very many job offers.
Hey, now.
Fabio.
That was my stage name, Fabio.
Oh, no. It just gets worse.
Okay, wait a minute.
Back on track here.
I've worn a gorilla costume. Number one, you can't see diddly out of it.
No.
You can't.
You can't see anything either.
It cuts down your visibility.
Or anything.
Yeah, you can't see anybody's diddly. I mean, what?
Oh,
No. We don't want to see that. It really cuts down your vision, what you can see.
There you go.
Yeah. I'm educated, can't you tell?
Educated, yeah.
But beyond that, it's like you're wearing, like, these loose pajamas. It kind of affects how you move. So I can't even imagine having to, number one, run that fast in a gorilla costume. Two, run on that slick grass, uneven surface, loose rocks. You know, rattlesnakes. Hello, rattlesnakes out there. Apparently, rattlesnakes are pretty prevalent out there in that area. Mm-hmm. So you factor in the terrain, the speed. Mm-hmm. This thing is supposed to be wearing a costume. Come on now.
Well, and you bring up a good point.
Don't I normally? No.
Not to be funny, but I've actually worn a bunny suit.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. And I remember that thing being... And I was in a building with air conditioning.
There probably wasn't much to it if you were in a bunny suit.
Oh, not one of those.
Oh.
But I couldn't see anything. No one could see. No one could tell it was me in there, you know, because they couldn't see through it. My face part.
Okay.
The feet were horribly big. You're thinking, okay, somebody's in a costume like this and they're running. Not only that, let's go a step further. You want to make this thing look muscular.
Well, hold on. Before we proceed on that, I've seen plenty of videos, and I'm gonna take you to task on this one since you brought up the bunny costume thing.
I've seen
plenty of videos where giant rabbits have been filmed running across an open area, you know, on its upright bipedal rabbits. I think they're real. I do.
I think we can edit that out.
Sorry.
You know, go a step further. Put in muscles. Put in a muscles type suit underneath the fur, which is exactly what they've done in some of these shows. I think it was the guy was trying to walk like the creature in the Patterson footage. And that's just walking. And he had a difficult time doing it. Think about running. You mentioned the terrain and everything.
Yeah.
They actually got a track star from one of the local universities to go up there and run the track that the supposed Bigfoot went, I guess.
Yeah.
He actually fell. He was running as fast as he could, and they clocked him running faster than the Bigfoot, which doesn't mean that the Bigfoot was running at full speed. We have to remember, we don't know what this thing was. We don't know that it was full grown. We don't know if it was running as fast as it could. And so with this guy beating its time, that doesn't really say a whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, this guy is on the track team, so he's pretty fast.
And for those who haven't seen the video, he was also carrying on his back some scientific equipment to register, you know, all the data that they were... Just take a step back. They sent a team out there, and you'll see this in the documentary. They sent a team out there with all their scientific doodads, and they were out there to get all sorts of readings and this and that and the other. So this guy is wearing... practically a Ghostbuster pack on his back. No, and I mean, I'm kidding. He's got this big pack on his back. And it's got like an antenna and everything. And, you know, it had a wet bar and a jacuzzi.
He's not Tony Stark. It was actually pretty expensive equipment, and they were saying before he started that they hoped that he wasn't going to fall.
They were worried about him. They were worried about their equipment.
They were, yeah.
So, poor guy.
And he was wearing, I think, a tank top and shorts and tennis shoes.
Yeah.
And he actually ran across the mountain twice. The first time he fell, and they think that he just, like, the rocks kind of slipped out from under his feet, and then the second time he ran as fast as he could again, and then he, you know, walked into the woods. He kind of tried to just do it exactly like the supposed Bigfoot did.
Mimic Bigfoot.
Mimic him as much as he could. But let's go back to the actual supposed creature, and I keep saying supposed because we don't know if it's real or not. I personally believe that it is real. That is one of the videos, the footages that if I were to say, okay, out of all these videos that I've seen that I think are real Bigfoots,
Big feet.
Is in my top three. I really do think it's real. And I think, like I've already said, the Bigfoot was holding on to a baby. And he was only, or her, she was only able to use one arm to run because her other arm, its other arm was taken up with the baby.
Uh-huh.
Now, let's go to the ending where the supposed Bigfoot is walking into the woods. How does it grow 8 to 9 inches? Well, this is what the researchers also think, is that it puts the baby on its shoulders because now I can just leisurely walk. I don't have to run across this mountain.
Yeah.
You know, to get away from all of these people who are watching me, to get to safety.
Yeah.
I'm already pretty much there. I'm tired. Let me put you on my shoulders.
That's a good point, because before, as it was running, it knew it had to really have a good hold on the infant. Of course, this is all speculation. The infant, so that it would make sense that it would have the infant on its back and holding on to it, and where it slows down and it comes to a walk on that last little stretch because it feels like it's safe now and it's out of view of the witnesses, then, you know, it kind of props it up in a more comfortable position on her shoulders as opposed to how she had her before, her, him, whatever.
Exactly. And when the thing is running, you see, not only do you see something that looks like it's attached to the back, but while the creature is running, it looks like something's kind of, like maybe there's some feet kind of dangling. Picture a child on their dad's back. The dad is running. What would the child be doing? That it would kind of be dangling, you know, holding on for dear life and not just stuck to the dad, but, you know, maybe a leg kind of flopping around. That's kind of what you see. And then one thing that I thought was interesting is the different colors of the larger creature and the smaller creature. The larger creature is darker and the smaller creature is lighter. And so you wonder, okay, well, if this is a baby, the babies, the younger ones, are they lighter in color? Whatever color they're going to be, red, brown, black, gray, this looks gray to me.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever they're growing up, are they lighter? Is that easier to camouflage them? So, and it's really easy to see once the baby gets on the shoulders.
Yeah.
At that point, you can really tell that part up there is lighter, and then the creature's darker looking.
It's tricky. That part's tricky because this isn't film. This is a video. So unfortunately, when you zoom in, you do lose some clarity.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look very closely, you can, if you know what to look for, you can kind of see a differentiation in the color slightly.
You can.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. You'll miss it. I missed it the first couple of times, and then I
big surprise there.
I probably was eating at the time. Had food.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Playing with my G.I. Joes or something.
No,
I was distracted. When you really take a good look, and you can see a difference.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
Before he and I even talked about it, I thought, and I think I remember telling you, Eddie, I think this is real. I think I remember saying those words.
That's exactly what you did.
And, you know, you and I, we don't think everything. There's videos that we've seen footage, and one of us thinks it's real and the other one doesn't. We don't agree on every single thing.
Yeah.
And there's some things that I've pointed out in footage, and you've pointed out and kind of made the other one think differently. And, you know, that's kind of what we're trying to do. So
definitely look into the Memorial Day footage. It's very interesting. We could keep going on and on about it. But I think we've kind of laid out the video itself. We can't speak much to the scientific data that they collected as well as what they cover in the documentary or the book. Again, it's by Dr. Jeff Meldrum. It's called Sasquatch Legend Meets Science, or as Colleen likes to say, Legend Meets Sasquatch, or Legend Meets Chupacabra, or Archie Bunker Meets
Archie
Sasquatch.
Bunker,
meets
really?
Sasquatch. I don't know. You come up with all sorts of things.
Oh, good. I can't wait till we open this door. He's really going to let you
know. Oh, the Doberman. Yeah, he's going to come in and chomp me.
By the way, his name is Velcro. We don't have to keep saying the Doberman.
The Doberman. Yeah, he's called Velcro because he sticks to us like Velcro.
And he steals everything, and so everything sticks to him.
Yeah, so it goes both ways. But yeah, definitely check that out. Memorial Day footage, it's interesting. One thing we didn't talk about. The number of witnesses, there was quite a few people. It wasn't just Owen and Lori's family.
No, there were, yeah.
Like,
I'm glad you brought that up. There
like
was
upwards
like 30,
of 30-something 30 people. So
there were 30-something people that saw that.
Yeah, campers were there. It wasn't just this isolated to just this one family.
No.
And I'm going to get this wrong. I'm sorry for this, but please – again, go online and do some research. Do the research that we didn't bother doing. it seems like it was either 2 days prior or 2 days after. I want to say it's 2 days prior that they were also getting reports of a bipedal hairy creature in that area.
I think it was before.
Uh-huh. Before, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, yeah, it's like it wasn't just isolated to just the Pate family.
No.
Other campers, there were other people, there was a gentleman who took his binoculars out, and he said when he looked through his binoculars, the first thing that struck him was the way the hair was flowing off of the arm,
mm-hmm.
and he knew, his words were, I knew immediately that this wasn't a man.
Yeah.
Man, ugh. Cause you,
gave me chills.
Yeah, it's a lot of times, let's take it back to the gorillas. It's funny, when you see gorillas in person, and Colleen and I have been fortunate enough to where we've literally have been inches away from a gorilla. You know, at the Dallas Zoo, mm-hmm. you know, these gorillas in their habitat, little setup. The big gorilla will sit right down there and lean against the glass, the safety glass, and
mm-hmm.
we've gotten the chance to actually sit down and lean shoulder to shoulder with this thing on opposite sides of the safety glass, obviously. Kind of recreate our own little Spock Kirk moment from Wrath of Khan, you know.
Oh, gosh. Did you really do that?
But,
wait, which one is Spock? The poor gorilla?
I would have to say the gorilla is Spock because he's much smarter and more logical than I am.
Oh, gosh.
Does that work for you?
That means the gorilla dies.
Oh, gosh. Anyway, we're...
But you brought it up.
You see these gorillas in person, and you're looking at them, and they almost look fake when
yeah.
you see them in person.
They do.
And so you kind of have to take that into account. This guy, when he saw through his binoculars what he saw, he said that he has no doubt that it was not a human
mm-hmm.
dressed up. So he obviously saw something that struck him in such a way that caused him to say that and believe that, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, you brought up looking fake, and people always say, oh, when I saw it, you know, I just knew that that was someone dressed up because it, you know, the hair looked fake and this
yes.
and that looked fake. And,
yeah, that's what I was
you know,
at.
Being at the zoo and we know that we're looking at real animals there, their fingers, their hands are just so, I mean, you could just, well, I could, but I love animals, but you could just stare at them all day. The gorilla, if the big one is really close to you, sometimes he's a snob, but there was that day that I got to interact with him. Do you remember that? We were talking to each other?
Yeah.
And then when he was done with me, he turned his back on me.
Yeah, did he throw some grass at you or something?
No, he was putting hay on himself as a, you know, they decorate themselves.
Oh, he was
he was
prettying himself up for you.
He was, but then he was pretty much done with me. So anyway, but if you're lucky enough to be that close to one of the big ones, you can really see how kind of fake they look. They have this enormous head, this huge conical shape up there because their jaws are so massive. They've got these humongous teeth. They have absolutely no neck. It goes from head to trapezoid shoulder type thing. You know, it's just enormous. Their arms are massive. They've got this big fat gut, you know, because that's all they do is just sit around and eat. And then they actually, you know, whenever he stands up, he's got their bottoms kind of look a lot like humans, except he's got hair. And, you know, he actually, I mean, I don't know how else to put it, but he has a butt crack. And then they've got these tiny legs, so they're very funny looking. They're very disproportionate, but they could kill you in one blow.
Oh, yeah.
They're vegetarians, so when you look at them, they do look fake. And mm-hmm. you think, oh, it's ridiculous looking, you know?
Yeah.
And so these people who are spotting these things are taking pictures. Oh, the hair is, you know, the hair just didn't look right and all this kind of stuff. Well, how do you know what it's supposed to look like?
How do you know what a Bigfoot's supposed to look like if we have no point of reference?
I think Grover Krantz said it best, you know, I don't know what a Bigfoot's breasts are supposed to look like, talking about the Patterson film. And
yeah.
You know, that's one of the funniest things you could hear. But,
he was serious.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You don't know.
But again, as we're winding down, check out the Memorial Day footage, look into it, do some background research on it, and read the eyewitness accounts, and judge for yourself. And again, we are not experts. We are, I guess, this is our hobby. We're almost like fans of conspiracies and cryptozoology and the unknown. We're not cryptozoologists. You can't get a degree in it. There are people who call themselves cryptozoologists, and that's awesome. You know, more power to them. We just want to bring you information. We want to make the show fun. And Figments, that's what it's all about. It's just sharing our thoughts and views on things, giving you some little bit of info, and just hopefully, you know, have a little bit of fun with these things as much as we do. Colleen,
exactly.
you have anything else you want to say before we close out?
Closing remarks, I just kind of agree with everything that you've said. I just...
Oh, you better. Uh-huh, yeah.
Well, no, I take that back. Never mind.
You better recognize.
I have my own mind. I can speak for myself, but... I just want people to look at things with an open mind. Like you said, judge for yourself. You know, have fun with it. Obviously, you may look at a video and think, I don't know what those people are thinking. That is, to me, that is fake. I'm not going to believe in that. That's fine.
Sure.
You know, until these things have been proven or disproved, we don't know if any of this stuff is actually real. We're just choosing to believe, you know, to believe that this footage is real or this footage is a fake.
Or the possibility that it could be real, yeah.
And we have to remember, like we said before, the world is so big. I mean, we are kidding ourselves if we think that we know everything. And, you know, the coelacanth was thought to be extinct in, I think it was around 1930. Some fishermen were catching them and actually eating them, not knowing what fish it was.
They're a delicacy.
Yeah, and they realized, wait a minute, guys, this, you realize what this is? This is, we thought this fish was extinct. So you go back to the Gigantopithecus that they think, is the ancestor to these big feet. We know they existed. There's not doubt that they, you know, these giant, they're actually giant apes. We know that they existed. We have some teeth. We have, I believe, part of a jaw bone.
I think it's just the teeth. They recreated the rest based on the teeth.
Okay.
Yeah.
But in recreating, you can see how big, you know, they can judge how big these things are by just the smallest bit of information because these guys are so smart. But, you know, who's to say that these creatures are not just ancestors from these Gigantopithecus?
Yeah. Which we found out they estimate to be about 9 foot tall.
Right. Yeah. And they don't know if they actually ran and hid from them or if they hunted them. So I kind of think that's interesting. That's an interesting little question there.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, we don't know. And it's just like the ocean. Think about the ocean. Think about how big it is. Think about everything. If we were to drain the ocean, you know, you and I have talked about that. If we were to drain the ocean, what would we find?
Mm-hmm.
What life would we find? Not only would we find tons of ships and planes and boats and all that kind of stuff, but
pirate treasure.
What would we find?
Yeah.
So I think if, you know, and I know people that are completely, everything that we have found out in the world right now is the only thing that exists, and I'm not going to believe in this, I'm not going to believe in that. You can't convince me one way or the other, and that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
I just choose not to be that person.
Yeah.
Not that I am just wanting there to be all these creatures to be discovered, you know, in the years to come, but I just think it's fun to think that there's more out there than we've actually discovered right now. I think it's fun to think that what we're living right now is not all that's there. And to me, that's exciting. You know, we may be kidding ourselves and all of this stuff may be false. And hopefully one day we will find that out.
Well, you know, there was one point in history where they knew the earth was flat. And, you know, you can't If we stuck with that, you know, where would they have taken us if we had just had that mindset? You know, we can't explain the Bermuda Triangle phenomenon. There mm-hmm. may not be anything to it, but then again, there may be something mm-hmm. that can be, it can be explained in a scientific way.
Ah, I can't wait to talk about that one.
Yeah. You know, God's creation is so vast, and there's so many more mysteries about creation that we don't know. And it's mm-hmm. going to be exciting to find out things as, you know, they come along. Certain things like Bigfoot or Chupacabras, if they're disproved beyond a shadow of a doubt one day, it's not going to faze us, because Colleen and I still like taking our hiking trips. You know, we get out on the long, desolate stretches of these trails out in the middle of nowhere. We do it because we love getting out and enjoying God's creation and mm-hmm. seeing things and running into, you know, deer and other critters. And if we happen to come across something that is unexplained, all the better.
Yeah, I'm sure I'll look up and you'll be, I'll just see the back of you running away.
I'll be running.
And
I'll definitely be running.
Left there by myself, and then we'll figure out that it's just a black piece of plastic. Do you remember that instance?
We don't need to talk about that.
Yeah, in a cemetery. In a cemetery. So it wasn't just somewhere. It had to have been in a cemetery.
That little piece of plastic blown around looked like a tarantula to me. Sorry.
Which you pushed me out, literally pushed me out of the way,
we'll go ahead and edit that part out.
No, we won't.
Again, thank you everyone for joining us on our first episode of Figments. We hope you enjoyed it as much as we did. We had fun, and again, this is going to be a weekly show. You can find us here on the Jedi Cole Network at JediCole.com. And remember, keep asking yourself, is it real? Or is it just a figment? Good night, folks.
Good night.
Figments is a production of EdMed Art Studios and hosted by the Jedi Cole Universe. You can find us at www.jedicole.com and www.eddiemedina.com. Thank you for listening, and keep searching for the unknown. Thank you.